Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to On the Beans List, a podcast that celebrates the art of conversation with your host, Dean Latticer.
Thank you, George. Good morning, everybody. You are on the Dean's List. I'm your host, Dean Latticer. Thanks for joining us. I know it's been a little pause between episodes, and we are excited to be back. We've got some great guests coming up, including our guest this morning. And I want to encourage you, if you're a first-time listener or a long-time listener, thanks for being patient with us. We've got some great people, and we'll talk about that in one of the breaks. But let's jump into our show today. Today, our Detroit Pistons insider joins us, Ryan Deitch. He's going to talk about the 2015-2016 season so far. Plus, we'll talk about some of the players and going on with Stan Van Gundy's team, as well as the team's ascent here in the Eastern Conference. And we'll also look around the NBA. So without further ado, let's welcome Ryan to the show. Good morning, Ryan. Thanks for joining us.
Morning, Dean. Thank you.
Well, as we woke up this morning, we found our guys in red, white, and blue. They're in seventh place in the Eastern Division. Let's start off with a simple one. Is this a seventh place team, or what do you think?
I think all seasons be a battle for that seventh and eighth, maybe sixth seed between Boston, Orlando, and Detroit. You know, they got, obviously they show that they can win. They show the defensive side. They need to keep going, and their schedule only gets tougher on the road. So it's all about consistency and keeping up the hard work.
Last night's game was a tough one. It seems as if Memphis has had their number. Chalmers put in that leaner at the last second. I mean, I thought they had that one in the bag, but, Memphis found a way to grind that out. What did you see?
Well, what I saw was a team who was down, and they made a great comeback, you know, great plays led by none other than Stanley Johnson. And, they were up, I think, six, and they let it go. They followed Chalmers at the three, and he got three free throws. And then Pistons missed. Grizzlies ran back, and they stripped the ball away for a second. Chalmers picked it up and just threw it up. And lucky shot, I'll say. It was a lucky shot. But you know what? They got the job done. They won.
There's not much difference between being good and being lucky, I'll tell you about that. But you look at this, it seems like the second one Memphis miracle, so to speak. Is this are the Grizz going to become the new Pistons rival, you think?
I mean, as far as I'm going to say that, I think it's a little early to say, but two times, you know, in one season, that's kind of tough. But as Stanley Johnson said last night, he said they had the basketball gods on their side, and he says the Pistons are a better team. They just got lucky.
One of the things that we got to talk about, Stan Van Gundy, the coach, I will say this much. I always felt getting him was a bit of a coup, especially to get him to be that executive. He was the first Detroit manager or management that was brought in through a professional search firm like now the Lions have done with Bob Quinn. Let me ask you, let's talk about both Van Gundy, the coach, and the general manager. I want you to kind of look at both sides of the coin there, and I want you to rate him as a coach and rate him as a GM, because sometimes coaches have to win now, but GMs and managers have to build for the future. Tell us what you think of that, and tell me where you think has he been a better coach or a GM?
Okay. Before we talk about Van Gundy, let's go back to Jojo Mars, okay?
You got
He has signed many deals he shouldn't have signed. Let's talk about Josh Smith. I mean, This guy, you signed him to a four-year deal, and you didn't even know if he was going to be great for you, and he turned out to be just a complete bum. And
oh, no.
Now you got a bad guy. Go ahead.
I thought Smith was was just a tank there, and it seemed like there was four guys in him.
Right. I mean, all the threes that got shot up, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So now you got a guy, Van Gundy, who came in, and by the way, he had never missed playoffs before in his coaching career, which is a pretty good stat for a coach to have.
Oh, that's a great rep.
And he's not only the coach, he's the GM. So what's better to pick your players, make the trades, and then coach the players?
Well, he's got control of the franchise. Has he been really able? Do you think he's able to put his he's been able to put his fingerprints on this franchise?
Definitely.
Or do you think he? Okay.
Let's look back at when he's out of Orlando. He was bringing the uprising Dwight Howard to All-Star, you know, and he did. He built that team around Dwight Howard. And now you got pretty much the same situation going on with Andre Drummond, the young rising center in the NBA. And like I said, he's the GM, so he knows everyone on a business level, and he's knowing them at the coaching level as like being on the team. So you got that chemistry going there. So I think it's a good mix, to be honest, with the coaching and GM being all one thing.
Well, he's got one thing on his plate is he's got a challenge at guard because we have a duel between two really great guards in Jackson and Brandon. Give me your take on it and tell me who, if you were starting, who you would start or would you trade one? Would you keep one coming off the bench? I mean, we had talked about that before the show. Tell us what you see the guard situation is right now and how would you make it work to your favor?
Okay. I think Van Gundy is doing an excellent job on alpha guard. He made a great deal with Reggie Jackson. Let's talk about Reggie Jackson for a second. This guy has
Please.
He was drafted in, I believe, 2011, and he's coming off the shadows of Russell Westbrook, who is one of the more dominant point guards in our league. So Reggie Jackson wasn't that hot. No one really knew about him. And now he gets traded to the Pistons last year. The man is dropping triple-doubles, double-doubles, getting 20 assists. He shows he knows how to pass the ball and play and score. And this season, nothing has changed. He's doing great. Sometimes he's lacking on the defensive side, I've seen. And now you got Brandon Jennings, who is coming back off this injury. And I believe he's fighting for the starter spot, but I don't think he's going to get it. I think he's better than sixth man. And together, I think this team with two guards like that, they have great potential.
Well, and then Pope back in there, Caldwell Pope, because you've got really, I haven't think that we've seen that strong a back point. Backcourt back to our playoffs runs.
Yeah, hey, KCP, man, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he is a great young player. You got a lot of potential in him. And that's the thing about this team. They're young, they're new, they're full of energy. You got KCP, Reggie Jackson, and Andre Drummond. Those are the three people I think Van Gundy's really building the franchise around right now. And I think that's where he could continue to go in the future, is building it around those three.
You mentioned early Andre Drummond, the league's leading rebounder. For a while there, he was top of the All-Star balloting, but for whatever reason, though, the latest polling, he seems to be fourth. I mean, is that fair? I mean, you've got looking at the voting. I mean, he's really slipped on it. Should Drummond be on the All-Star game?
I think so. He's fourth place. He was third for a while, but I think Carmelo Anthony took that third spot now. You know, it's just like Carmelo Anthony is a great basketball player, but how many years have we seen him in his All-Star game? I think Andre Drummond deserves the starting spot because he's shown he's a dominant player. He's shown he can rebound, he can score, and all around, I think he deserves the spot. And as much as I love Carmelo, I think Andre Drummond deserves it more than him.
Talk about it because, again, it seems as if, you know, we alluded to taking over the team. What do you see the Pistons need right now? Do they just need time and maturity, or is there a hole in the lineup, or do they need somebody coming off the bench? If you were a special advisor to Van Gundy, what would you be asking him, or what would you be telling him this team needs to take it to the top half of the conference as opposed to being in the bottom half of the playoff chase?
What I think the team needs is, I think they got the team, they got the players. They just need to keep working on their chemistry together and keep – the problem to me seems like when they're down by a certain amount, they kind of – I don't want to say give up, but they kind of don't play as hard. And like we saw in the Spurs game, they only really played the second half. In the first half, they didn't really try – it seemed like. And the second half, obviously, they sparked a comeback, but still ultimately lost. They just need to keep that, like, mentality of we can do this and we got to keep playing. And when you're playing a team like the Spurs or the Grizzlies, you got to play fast. You got to get around the defense. You got to score. And sometimes it's just a problem for them.
Is that a maturity problem with this team, that because they are young and, you know, they're still learning the grind of an 82-game season, do you really think that's where it is, as they mature and they understand what it means to play at this highest level? Do you think that a full 42 minutes will come every night, as opposed to, you know, one half on, one half off?
I mean, there is some maturity there. I mean, you got KCP, who's only in his second or third season, you know, and you got Drummond, and obviously the new rookie, Stanley Johnson. So they just need to keep maturing. And even they're missing Jody Meeks, you know what I mean? He'd be a great backup to KCP. If they had Jody Meeks, I think they have a lot more depth coming off the bench. I mean, imagine Brandon Jennings and Jody Meeks coming off the bench. Those are two players who can really just keep the energy going. And I just think the starting lineup is good. The bench needs to just get hot and get better and keep the plays going.
One of the problems I've been seeing is got to be Drummond's free throw shooting. I mean, he's down to about 35%. You know, they're leaving points there on the board if he's only able to connect one out of three.
All right, and that's why you've seen them take him out at the end of the games. You know, they put in the substitution Baines, and they can't have Drummond out there if he's going to miss those important points, especially when you're in a tight game and every point counts towards the end. And as much as I love Drummond and I love the way he plays, he needs to get better on those free throws. I mean, you can't not hit free throws, especially in those close games like that.
Our guest this morning, Ryan Dyke, all right, talking about the 2015-2016 basketball season, specifically our Pistons insider, talking about the team and what he's seeing going on. Just a quick break here. I want to invite first-time and returning listeners to join us. We have a weekly newsletter we send out called the Latticer Letter. And if you're in sales, if you're in marketing, if you're in management or communications, feel free to go over to my website, DeanLadd08.com. That's DeanLadd08.com. And on the right side there, you'll see where you can check out some back episodes of the Latticer Letter, find out one. The most recent one was based on a conversation that I had with a mutual friend of ours, Ryan, Tim Walker. We were talking about the passing of David Bowie, and so I kind of used that as a metaphor for marketing and sales and creatives. But there's a lot of great stuff there. Feel free to go to DeanLadd08. That's my personal webpage, and you can also find out about our speaking, our training, and our coaching and opportunities there. And you can sign up for the Latticer Letter. And I encourage first-time listeners or returning listeners, if you're not on that mailing list, go ahead and do so. Let's jump back into it here. Ryan, one of the things you mentioned earlier about recovering, I really think one of the Pistons' problems has been that they are still in that malaise from the end of the Davidson era, and especially Karen Davidson, who basically put the team in neutral. It seemed as if Joe Dumars couldn't spend any money, and she let the asset that her husband loved so much kind of just dwindle down. And it seems like they still have an entropy. They're still trying to get the train uphill on it. And that's part of the uphill battle that I think Pistons fans are seeing. Even though great nucleus of young talent, they still need to play hard for a whole game. But I just think they're still recovering from the last licks of Karen Davidson. What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, I agree 100%. You know, it's coming off of that is so hard. It's going to obviously take a couple of years to rebuild. But even look at last season, they were 5-23 to start the first 28 games. This season, they're 21-18 now. So it's a vast improvement on winning and losing. Granted, they got rid of Josh Smith last year. Granted, they were on a hot streak. And I don't want to go as far to say it, but if Brandon Jennings never got injured, I think they could have been a playoff team in the last year.
Really?
Yeah. Even if they lost.
I mean, I think that's ambitious, but go ahead. Tell me why you thought they could have been a playoff team last year.
They were on a 7-game winning streak, and everything was just – I remember in San Antonio, Brandon Jennings, there was like 2 seconds left. He ran in for a layup and made it, and they won the game. And it was insanely hype and crazy. And I just remember the team was just on fire and so hot. They were hitting all their threes. They were hitting all their shots. And it seemed like nobody could beat them. And he got injured, and they didn't really have a good point guard. They had Spencer Dinwiddie, and granted, he's a good young player, but he's no starting point guard, I don't think, for that team yet. And, you know, if they would have kept on that hot streak, I really think they could have pushed for an eighth playoff spot.
I see your point. I think maybe, you know, hopefully that this year, I mean, they were out of the playoffs last year. This year, they're kind of trolling there on the bottom 6, 7, 8. Hopefully, you know, a little bit better seed, which, you know, you're hopefully a little closer to the team in the center of the seeds than you are when you have like that 1-8 matchup. By the way, if you want to join us, I want to give out the phone number here. We'll be taking calls in the last segment. Area code is 347-677-1483. That number again is 347-677-1483. We're talking basketball here with Ryan, our Pistons insider. Tell you what, you were out at the venue, the Palace. I mean, that's basically still considered one of the top venues in the NBA. And downtown, they're trying to build that and replicate it. I know they've got Tom Wilson, who a friend of On the Dean's List there. Tom, once when I was doing business networking luncheons, came and spoke for us. So I can tell you, Tom is just a wonderful guy. He's trying to replicate the magic downtown that he created out there. Let's talk about Tom Gorris and talk about the big picture of the franchise. What do you think? Is Gorris committed to a winner, or is this so many teams you see like a team move, or you see people use it as you know, a way to take their billions and make trillions? Or what do you think the long-term prognosis is here for the Detroit basketball franchise?
I think Tom Gorris undoubtedly wants his team to win. He's there time and time again, always talking about the team. When they came on with Van Gundy, it was incredible the things they were saying and how they want to turn this franchise around and, you know, go back to the good old days and be a winning team in general. And I think Tom Gore is really the right guy to oversee everything. And I really like that he's has a positive attitude about winning.
I tend to agree with you. He's definitely put his money where his mouth is. And the challenge is because the results on the court aren't necessarily mirroring what he does to the venue. Obviously, when you have, like, new refreshment options or you have new gaming experiences, when you have enhancements in the Wi-Fi, that's a tangible thing. And one of the challenges has always been with that franchise is that they've sold the entertainment, not necessarily the product on the floor. There was a joke there. I have some friends out there, and I was teasing with them because it seemed like they were bringing in a lot of top entertainment there for halftime. And I told them, yeah, you know, you guys have been scheduling these concerts and wrapping them around a basketball game.
Right. So I mean, I was there that night, and they had, I think, Pop Evil was there playing. And it was pretty cool, but, you know, it's just, that it was like one of their selling points for the game, you know what I mean? But it was the San Antonio Spurs, so that was a great game. But like everyone was talking about that band. It was like one of their selling points for the
halftime. Well, you know, the product on the floor, I still say, is the main selling product. And that's one of the criticisms that the Pistons organizations had, that they're such great marketers. I mean, the Davidson administration really were great sports marketers. And then, again, the Gore's administration has taken off, you know, and they haven't missed a beat either on it. But at the same time, you know, it's the as they say, there's nothing that helps ticket sales like winning basketball.
Right, you're exactly right. I mean, last year I went to the season opener at home, and they were already 0-2, I believe, that time. And halftime they had Kid Rock come out, and that was awesome. It was really cool because no one expected it. And things like that, I think, really get people like when you go to the Palace, and I don't know if you've been recently, it's just a really cool environment and cool,
it is.
You know, all around fun time, you know, besides the basketball part. It's just really, and even when basketball's on, the crowd gets involved, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Just that number again, area code 347-677-1483. If you want to join the talk, we're talking Detroit Pistons and NBA basketball with our Pistons insider this morning. Let's kind of look around the league, if we will. One of the big announcements that's come out this season was the announcement of the retirement of Kobe Bryant. Where do you put Kobe on the Mount Rushmore of NBA basketball? I mean, there's been so many great players over the years, and it's kind of the end of an era when a guy like that hangs it up. Reflect on Kobe and tell me what you think about him as a player, and where do you see his place in the game?
Kobe is just, he's a legend, obviously. I mean, I would put him in top 10 for sure. I don't know if he's, obviously, you know, he got the great Michael Jordan and Larry Bird, all those guys. But Kobe has brought such an energy and such an incredible play to the game that nobody else has, especially in his younger days. And, you know what I mean, he's multiple champions, he has multiple rings, and I just think the all-around player that he is, he's no doubt going to go down in history as one of the best. And no one can argue that.
It's kind of hard to watch him fading out here at the end, but, you know, sometimes you need to be told to leave the dance, and yet I'm sure the mental capabilities and I'm sure the mindset is there, but as somebody who's getting older himself, I'll tell you, sometimes our brains and our bodies have discussions on which way we're going to go on some things.
Well, yeah, it's sad to see it. Go ahead, Dean. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You're my guest.
Okay, I'll just say, it's sad to see Kobe. Like, I mean, the Lakers, obviously, they have a lot of problems right now, and the man is loyal to his team. You got to give him that. He's been there for 20 years, and
played on one franchise. That's the outstanding thing.
Yeah, that is. And they, obviously, now they have problems, and they're not doing hot. And sad to see, but, you know, you got to give the man props. He stuck with it, and that's his team, you know? That's his team.
Well, you were out at the game the other night. You saw San Antonio and Detroit. They seem to be sneaking up there on Golden State. Who do you like? I mean, Golden State's been hotter than hot. What, only three losses on the season? And yet San Antonio, I mean, Popovich has that talent to kind of keep them there and draft literally behind them until the playoffs. And then Boosh, there he is, works his magic. Who do you like?
From the Spurs?
Yeah, Spurs or Warriors. Who do you like coming out of
the like the Spurs. I like the Spurs.
They are the hallmark of sports consistency. You got to admit that.
They are. And let me tell you why. The Warriors.
Why?
Now, granted, I know the Warriors are a great team right now. I know they are. But even if they were versus the Cavs last year, and the Cavs had Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, and everyone was healthy, I really honestly think the Cavs could have won. But the Warriors got hot at the right time, and they started the season hot. And we've seen, obviously, Steph Curry is absolutely phenomenal with his shot and how fast he is. But the Spurs play as a team, and I feel like the Warriors go to either Curry when he's hot or they go to Draymond Green or Klay Thompson, you know what I mean? And the Spurs, when you're watching the Spurs, it's pass, shoot. The chemistry between those guys is so great. And I love the Warriors. I love watching them play because it's so entertaining and it's so incredible to see Steph Curry hit those threes. But I got to give it to the Spurs for the consistency and the chemistry they have as a team, as a whole.
Not a lot of time left here. It wouldn't be fair if I didn't take a peek over on the East Division. Obviously, LeBron James and Cleveland, we were just talking about the finals. What do they have to do to get it over the top? Is it just the injury bug, or do you think the Cavaliers, are they the beast of the East?
The Cavaliers' biggest problem was injuries last year. I mean, you're missing Kyrie Irving, who's a great point guard, missing Kevin Love, who is a great power forward for rebounds and for shooting. And LeBron, granted he is, I don't want to say, arguably the best player in the league right now, I don't think he could have done it by himself against a team that was so hot. And I think even if his team around him was playing at 100%, I don't think they could have stopped the Warriors. The Warriors are just too hot and too much for them to handle at the time.
Well, in the time remaining, give us your look in your crystal ball there, Ryan. Tell us who you think is going to be in our NBA Finals come late spring here. Who do you like and where do you think end up?
Okay. I like seeing the Cavs versus Spurs, but only because if the Cavs can stay healthy and keep pushing through teams like they are right now, and the Spurs are pushing through everybody right now. If they both keep doing that, and the Spurs' only real threat to me is Golden State right now. They've proven they can beat everybody else, and if the Cavs continue to dominate the East like they are, Kyrie Irving's playing top of his game, LeBron's playing the top, you know, and that's another thing. LeBron and Kyrie, they're both scorers, so you got to work out what you're going to go to. And I think if they keep that boundary of who's going to score what, not just keep going to one guy, there's no limit to that team.
Can anybody challenge the Cavs in the East?
Oh, yeah. Pacers, I think, are a big threat right now. Paul George is getting on top of his game after his injury last year, and he's looking to get I think he's looking for some revenge on LeBron after 2 years ago when he was on the Heat and they beat him out in the playoffs.
Okay, where do you see your Pistons, where do you see them finishing? We've talked about it and flirted with a couple ideas. Where do you see them finishing, and who do you think your MVP is going to be at the end of the year?
Where do I see the Pistons finishing? I see them finishing probably 7th or 6th place.
Okay.
It's a battle right now. The three teams, you know, it's Orlando, Pistons, and Boston. They're all neck and neck right now. They're right there with each other. And if the Pistons can just keep on going on a like winning streak to give them at least a 3 or 4 game boost above everybody else, and then keep that for the rest of the season, I think it'll be fine. Especially the second half of the season. It'll be smooth for them.
And who do you see right now, who do you think the MVP is going to be on this Pistons squad?
On the Pistons squad?
Mm-hmm.
Drummond, for sure.
Drummond?
Yeah.
Great choices. I can't argue with anything you've said. I can't argue. I think Drummond, again, leading the league in rebounds makes him highly valuable. It means that, again, he's that X factor that you need rebounding and controlling the court there. He's got to step up, and he can't be a graduate of the Shaquille O'Neal School of free throws.
Exactly. He needs to get those free throws up, and he for sure has MVP for that squad. But I also think if Reggie Jackson continues to play, he could get it too.
You know what? We're only about two fists through the season here. It'll be interesting to see how they play out on it. Any final – we've got about a minute left here. Any final thoughts on your Detroit Pistons? Any inside predictions or thoughts that you have to leave us with?
You know, I just want to say this team is young. They're great. They're full of talent. They're full of energy. They have what it takes to make the playoffs. And even if they don't go far in the playoffs, first or second round, I'm okay with that because that's a huge improvement over the past 7 or 8 years. We need to see something happen and then – next year, we can go even farther.
Thank you for all sharing your insights on the Detroit Pistons and pro basketball today. There's just one thing to say, and that's Ryan Deitch, you are on the Dean's List.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And that's where we're going to have to leave it. Our thanks to Ryan for joining us. And I hope he'll be joining us soon. We've got some great guests coming up here. We've got Allison Martiniak. We've got her scheduled, the former host on 96.3 DVD. She's going to give one of her first public interviews since she's left the station. We also have the woman behind the voice of Surrey. She's going to talk about that experience, and she's also a singer and voiceover artist in her own right. So feel free to join us for those shows. I'm your host, Dean Lattiser. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, it's been this time on Dean's List, the podcast that celebrates the art of conversation.